I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, in lieu of a full show today, we will have a couple of segments. The first will be about Chelsea with Stephen Clark, who you can find on Twitter at @MrStephenJames_. Stephen, a pleasure having you on. Your match yesterday, as we record, was a little bit insane. Continuing to score, let Norwich back into it, then score again. Fortunately, the last time you did it, you ended up just actually scoring the final goal. Obviously, big days from Tammy Abraham and Mason Mount, who we will come on to in a little bit. But if you wouldn't mind, just walk us through that match from a Chelsea perspective.
Yeah, of course. So it looks like it is going to be kind of one of those seasons where we kind of are just going to have to learn to outscore the opponents, and it's becoming a bit of a worrying trend in some regards that we do seem to take the lead and then give it up, which has been quite frustrating, especially from a defensive point of view as kind of the team begins to gel. But starting yesterday, kind of there was a lot of talk going into the game about kind of Tammy Abraham, and he obviously started with a flash with this game, kind of scoring in the opening moments of the game with a really, really good volleyed tuck finish. He peeled off the back of the defense. It was a great goal to see, and even better to see was perhaps the celebration where he ran straight over to Frank Lampard and kind of rewarded all that faith with a big hug and kind of reinforced this idea that this Chelsea team is together and kind of all focused on one goal and a goal that the fans can get behind. So that was a great moment. Unfortunately, it was undercut quite quickly in the 6th minute when Todd Cantwell scored for Norwich, which was a bit of a disaster and kind of just, to be honest, that goal in particular, I was feeling the lack of Kante, who obviously wasn't in this week's lineup because of just a slight ankle injury that he's been having kind of since the beginning of the season. And Jorginho kind of got went into a 50-50, didn't win it, and the ball got played out wide. Azpilicueta hasn't been great recently, kind of let his man run right by him, and then Cantwell scored inside the 6-yard box. And, you know, to be honest, it was pretty deserved because I think that Norwich came into the game with a good attitude and they weren't afraid of kind of what Chelsea had to offer. And, you know, I think that if you're going to play Chelsea this season, that's probably the best way to go because I think that we have players that can break down defences. I just think that you can come at us. And I think that we've shown already this season that it's going to take a while for this back four to really gel. Then obviously we came back into the game with probably my favorite goal of the game from Mason Mount. Just so good to see him scoring because just one of these guys that we've been waiting to break through for years, and kind of the goal that he scored this week, honestly, there were shades of Kevin De Bruyne in the way that he was moving and the way that he struck that ball as well. It was honestly really great to see. And him scoring in back-to-back games is great news for the club. Then that was followed up by a Timo Pukki goal, because obviously we're going to concede again straight only like 15 minutes later, which, you know, Timo Pukki's on fire at the moment. Shades of Mishu for Swansea all those those years ago. He looks like he's probably ready for the Premier League, in all honesty. What is it, 6 goals now in 3 games, is it? Something like that. Ridiculous. And then kind of the game from there on out, kind of in the second half, Chelsea kind of asserted more dominance, whereas in the first half it was back and forth. Nobody could really get a grip of the game. If anything, I might have said that Norwich had more overall control. But in the second half, it seemed like Chelsea slowed everything down just a little bit more, focused on keeping that back four tight. And then, honestly, in all honesty, I kind of felt like the game was eking towards a 2-0 draw. We didn't really have the goal threat. And then Tammy Abraham just geniusly, really, he fooled the Norwich defenders. I think Grant Hanley thought he was going in behind, and then he pulls back and then kind of uses Grant Hanley to block the goalkeeper's view of the strike, and hits it low and hard and wins the game for Chelsea. And to be honest, I think it was deserved for the second half performance. And just from a Chelsea fan point of view, so, so good to see Tammy Abraham scoring goals, because we know he can.
Yeah, like we said, it was a very good day for Tammy Abraham. And you mentioned the big hug, that second goal that he dragged back was fantastic. The ball from Kovacic, which, by the way, I feel has been underreported, was fantastic there as well. But I was curious, after a performance like that from Abraham, where he was roaming, he was finishing his chances, do you feel like this kind of alleged tripartite strike force between him and Giroud and, in theory, Batshuayi may have been settled yesterday, and that Tammy Abraham is now the starter until he has a bad enough day that somebody else comes in?
Yeah, well, I think it's been settled since kind of the opening days of the season. I think that Tammy is the guy in Frank's eyes. I think that I'm pretty sure if Frank gets his way and Tammy keeps on scoring, obviously that's the most important thing. I think that Tammy will be the guy that we trust. He's been given the number 9 shirt. I think that Giroud will probably come in for some of the bigger games, maybe, or something a bit more nuanced or a bit more experience is required. But honestly, I think that this is Tammy's spot now. I think that he's probably the only guy that we have capable of scoring goals outside the box, which is another great threat to see. I think that Batshuayi is going to have a role to play more likely in cup games this season. And I think that Giroud may take the Champions League as well. But yeah, I think that maybe in the eyes of the outside of Chelsea, I think that maybe this is where Tammy has announced himself, and maybe people will start taking him seriously as a Premier League striker, hopefully. You know, it's only 2 goals and it's still early in the season. But yeah, like you said, I think that this is the moment now where he can really make this position his.
Yeah, and it kind of lines up with what we were talking about all summer of this kind of deemed youth revolution that was happening, that wasn't happening due to the injury. But with the way him and Mountain have been playing, it does clearly seem as though that is fully on. Speaking of Mount, for those that haven't been able to catch Chelsea matches, how good do you view he is right now, and what role is he playing in the Chelsea attack?
Yeah, I mean, he honestly has probably been, this, in my opinion, the standout performer of the season so far. I've just been incredibly impressed by the way that he's come in the side. He's come in with so much confidence. And to be honest, for really 2 of his games that he's played in the league this season so far, he's been forced out left. Obviously, Pedro had to be replaced because he was injured in the warm-up. So last second, Barkley came in the center and Mount moved out to the left. And he was very impressive there, even though I think that his natural position of playing in the center of an attacking mid position, or even a little bit further back in kind of like an 8 position, that's where his future is going to be. I think he's impressed just in the overall attacking phase. His passing's been great. And really, he is crucial to how Frank Lampard wants our press to work. At the moment, the entire team isn't pressing as a unit consistently enough for an entire game. But Mason Mount is just effortless. He just runs and runs for the entirety of the match, never gives up anything. And I've just been really impressed overall with the spirit, but also I think probably the most, because I think a lot of people talk about that kind of how he runs and the way that he gets involved in the game a lot. But I think it's been underreported kind of how good this guy is technically. He's been taking pretty much all our set pieces. Put in his first game against United, he took some pretty awful corners. But these last couple of games, he's been whipping them in with ferociousness and putting some really dangerous balls from corners, which has been something that this team has lacked completely with our Willian. Hasn't been able to get past the first man for the last 2 seasons, it feels like. So, he just adds something else to this side. And, you know, goal scorers in midfield is something that Chelsea know all about, obviously, with Frank. And it's something that we've probably lacked since then. So it's great to see a guy who has been taking this initiative and taking his opportunity with both hands. And I think that he's rewarded Frank pretty well so far.
Yeah, and it must be really exciting to see two former Academy graduates in Abraham and Mount kind of leading the charge here, then potentially joining them soon, way ahead of any timetable I ever saw, is that Callum Hudson-Odoi has been pictured in training this week. Is there any sense that he is meant to be back soon, or is it just kind of getting back into light training, get him kind of running again, and then he might be back in the next couple months?
Yeah, I mean, from these injuries are always so hard to tell. You know, we hear things, we see different types of things. We hear that they're back in training. you never really know until they're back on the pitch, I suppose, and fully fit. From what I've been hearing personally, from what numerous reliable Chelsea people have been reporting, it's that Callum will be in the frame after the international break, which is only, 2-3 weeks away. So, I mean, I think that Frank's really ready to chuck him in the deep end. And, you know, to be fair, if he's feeling it fitness-wise, I think he'll be an instant hit for this team. And I think that he's going to give us something that just we haven't had in this side since he's been out. So I'm really excited to see him come back. And another one is Reece James as well. Can't tell you how much we need this guy taking Aspie's spot. I love Aspie. He's a legend of the club. But Reece is going to give us something else there. And he looks to be back in the frame pretty soon as well. And Loftus-Cheek is probably the one that you would say is suffering a bit and is going to take a bit longer to come back. Probably not till, I think, December, some of the reports are. So, but hopefully Reece and Callum will be back in the frame, fingers crossed, anywhere after that international break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, that would certainly be welcome news to get them back so early compared to what the early estimates were. You also mentioned in your recap of the match that it looks like you're just going to have to outscore your opponents. Obviously, no clean sheets yet. 2 goals conceded to Norwich, probably not what you expected. The 4 against United, similarly. Is this a personnel thing? Is this a those defensive links just haven't been made yet with players getting used to playing with somebody reliably beside them? Or what's really causing these defensive issues at Chelsea right now?
Yeah, I think it's been a mixture of two things. I think so. The first thing is just individual mistakes, which is not what you want to see. But I think from considering how young these guys are, Zouma and Christensen in particular, Zouma probably less so because he's had a bit more experience in the Premier League, kind of obviously with his time at Stoke and Everton and Chelsea the first time round. There's been a few individual mistakes, and you know they've kind of been going in for tackles that they're never going to win. Zouma in particular, in that first game against United, made that horrible decision to go in for the tackle and gave them the penalty, which effectively lost the game for us. But overall, as a, like a more structural kind of thing, I think that they're just getting used to playing with each other in a back four. I think that probably the Timi Pukki goal is the best example of what's going wrong, I would say. It's the miscommunication there. So Zouma kind of lets Pukki go through and expects Christensen to be kind of shielding in the middle and kind of closing down that angle a little bit more, following just behind. But Christensen steps forward and tries to play Pukki side. So just a difference in communication there. Christensen steps a bit too late, leaving Pukki onside, and then kind of Zouma has no one to back him up in that position, and Pukki can just kind of whack it across the face of the goalkeeper. So I think that's been an issue. But I would also say that Azpilicueta has probably been a slight issue defensively. He's been giving the ball away far too much, which means that attacks are coming down coming down our right-hand side, the attacker's left-hand side a lot. And when you make mistakes and you give the ball away in kind of your own defensive third or half, you're always going to be under pressure, especially running towards your own goal, which isn't kind of where these guys are best. You know, Christensen in particular is a guy who likes to step out. He's a guy who likes to hold a high line. I think that's what Frank wants to do. I think it's a bit of growing pain. So hopefully it's gonna get better over the coming months, and I expect that it will. I have a lot of faith in these guys. Hopefully it gets better. Hopefully it gets better. But yeah, it certainly hasn't been the most impressive start for our defenders.
What combination of midfielders in front of them do you think would help most?
Yeah, that's interesting. On a defensive point of view, I think that obviously Kante is the first guy you'd put in there. Maybe a Kante Kovacic would probably help most, defensively speaking, just because I don't think Jorginho really helps this side defending, but he offers so much going forward. So then you just have this constant give and take. You're asking Kante to kind of to do what he did at Leicester and Chelsea in his first season. That's like play the role of two players effectively, which is, you can't ask for that from Kante every game for a season, because it's too much, even for a superhuman like him. So yeah, probably Kante Kovacic, I think, would give this side's a bit more of like a defensive backbone, because I think that Kovacic actually plays better when he's in a deeper position, and I think that he's got the technique to kind of play out. Though that being said as well, I've seen a lot of times Jorginho, while he's not great at tackling or tracking back or following his man, which is kind of key defensive attributes, what he is really good is taking the ball in those high-pressure situations where the press is being closed down and kind of playing through that, which is something that maybe Kovacic is quite good at, but maybe Jorginho is a little bit better at. So yeah, it's really hard. It really depends on the performance of the day, I suppose. It's pretty neck and neck, I would say.
Interesting stuff for sure. We've kind of mentioned about all the players, but we haven't yet really talked about Lampard as the manager. Obviously, just 3 matches in to his Premier League career as a manager, obviously, after a few more as a player. Just curious to get your thoughts at this early stage of his managerial style, how things have been working formationally, and perhaps anything off the pitch that's really stuck out to you since he's taken charge.
Yeah, I mean, so I have a lot to say positively. Obviously, I'm going to, but I will start with kind of what have been maybe not so much the negatives, but the signs that we kind of have to look out for. And I think that he started with this idea that we're gonna be a full pressing team, the kind of dynamic attack, kind of keep the control up for as long as we can during these games. But I think we saw in the Man United game, and in the Leicester game as well, that we start really well. We just can't sustain that kind of football for an entire match. So I think that these first couple of games has been about Lampard learning when to apply this press full hilt and when to maybe take a more calculated approach, slow the game down just a tad, then kind of re-find our feet, regain some energy, and kind of learning to live in those pockets of time during a match. And I think he got better at it, because I think that, like I said, the second half against Norwich, you might have expected to see the team come out full hilt and just try and score more goals. But we took a bit of a slower approach, trusted in kind of what we were doing attacking-wise, and trusted that the defense, if we slowed everything down, was going to be all right. And they were. So I think that showed even just a slight evolution from the first 2 games. I think that he's, in terms of formation, he's been pretty interesting, because he's, You would say that he's been playing a 4-2-3-1, which is pretty old school. You don't really see like a traditional kind of 10 these days a lot more. But also, some people would argue that he's been more playing a 4-1-4-1 formation. So it kind of interchanges between those two, I think. And those tend to be his more favorite positions, his favorite formations. A lot of people think that with some of the weaker teams, he may play 2 up front. So it'd be interesting to see if he can implement that into the side. We saw a bit of that during preseason. And I think that even kind of his formations have been, his substitutions have been pretty good. I thought he was quite smart in this week next game to bring Giroud on and to bring Willian on in the dying stages of that game. And even to bring Alonso in for height just in the last few minutes. I think that maybe if someone with a bit less game savvy in the Premier League might have tried to leave Tammy on just because to give him the hat trick, but he brings Giroud on, he holds the ball up, he wins a couple fouls and kind of frustrates Norwich a bit more. So yeah, I think there's been overwhelmingly good signs. We can score goals, which we've seen in the games. We look an attacking threat. Obviously there's these issues with the defense, but I don't think it's something that's inherent to Lampard. I think it's just the personnel finding their feet.
Yeah, I also saw something a couple of weeks back about how he was going to handle managing players that he played alongside in Aspilicueta and David Luiz. Obviously, one of those, less of an issue now. Do you think that that's been any awkward at all? Have you seen anything like that, or do you think it's just been smooth sailing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been pretty good so far. It's been pretty encouraging. The one you would say maybe is Willian, I feel like might be a bit awkward because I just don't really feel like he has a starting position in this side anymore. I think that Pedro and when Callum Hudson-Odoi comes back and Pulisic, obviously, I think and even Mount, we know can cover on that left hand side. I can't see Willian starting too many Premier League games this season, and that could just be a little bit of an awkward one for him, obviously with a playing relationship there. But without Azpilicueta, it's been great, honestly. You'd really, really struggle to find a professional that has such a dedication to the team over rather than himself. And the way he's been speaking about Reece James in recent weeks has been great, honestly. He's been encouraging him to kind of fight to take his own position, which is something that that you wouldn't expect to see from a lot of players. So I think that Frank is not going to have an issue there, even with Azp being the captain. I think that he's going to be a great leader, whether he's in the starting 11 or not. And I think that Frank has kind of handled the relationships in the dressing room really well so far from what I've seen. I think that he's got some pretty big characters in this dressing room. Even when Pedro kind of came off with the injury in the warm-up, I saw some photos of in the tunnel where Mason Mount and Frank Lampard both had an arm around Pedro, and they're kind of walking him back to the changing room, kind of talking to him. And it kind of looks like there's a real kind of core identity within the team. And there's also this idea that everyone's together, everyone's united with this common goal to try and create this new era at Chelsea.
Yeah, well, it's certainly interesting to watch from the outside looking in, although some may not be hoping for your success. It certainly seems to be moving in the right direction. We kind of talked about this in the offseason about what the expectations would be. And you said, you know, obviously still aim for the top four because it's Chelsea, but top six is probably acceptable. Do you feel like that's still the same after a few weeks of the season?
Yeah, I think that 4-0 humbling at the start of the season was was probably a bit of a maybe not so much a wake-up call, but maybe gave signs to the Chelsea fans that, okay, this is the kind of season that we're going to be dealing with. You know, where I think that the expectations have been slightly lowered, though I don't always feel like that's a good thing. I feel like there's no real way around it this season with Chelsea. I feel like we just have to do the best that we can, and top six, we have to make top six. I think that if we weren't to make top six, I think even Frank himself wouldn't accept that as being good enough. And I don't think he probably wouldn't lose his job in that circumstance just because of the way that the club's been set up this season. But I think in his own personal mind, if he didn't get top six, even if he didn't get top four, I think that's what Frank's going to be aiming for. And I think that anywhere in that ballpark, as long as we show those progressive signs that the next season we're going to be able to compete, and that these kind of youth players come through and we see an improvement in the style of play, I think that'll be enough.
Gotcha. Well, it'll certainly be interesting to keep an eye on throughout this season. Steve, that will do it for us right now. But if you'd like to tell folks where they can find you, now would be a good time.
Sure thing. So you guys can find me on Twitter at @MrStephenJames_, where you can find all my kind of ramblings about Chelsea and just the football and VAR in general.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on, and I'm sure we'll speak soon.
Thanks, Kevin.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.